The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Reality NSFW coverage of the Challenge All-Stars. Of course, that's Alex, that's Lauren, I'm Johnny Fairplay, and oh my God, we've got the Godfather, Mark Long, star of the show this week. Did you plan that?
No, I knew the episode 4 was going to be a good one for me because of the lifesaver and all that other stuff. So I knew it was going to be good, and I figured why not share it with you guys, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you. You were correct. So, like, last week we had Nehemiah. He had no clue. He was just like, man, did I luck out or what?
That's awesome. Yeah. Nehemiah was my roommate.
We will discuss that, Mark Long. So, all right. So this episode's called Semi-Charmed Lifesaver. Oh, wow. Does that come into play? And we start with a previously on with Big Easy doing the ass rub on the ice. Now, we are loving the previously ons, and Nehemiah said that at the beginning they kind of grabbed somebody to do something, but then later, you know, there's a little bit of boredom in the house and it's just like, hey, come here, let's do it now. Take great pride in the previously ons?
Oh, of course, because at the beginning, like Nehemiah said, you know, they were coming to grab us, and then toward like the middle, we would grab them, and I'm not sure what they'll use, but there's one where Yes is fishing and I come out of the water like a fish, like he's caught me in the lake in the back. So that was one that we did. We did some all over, but yeah, it became like a thing, like people were battling for the previously on. I can't say it because it hasn't aired yet, but I have an epic previously on coming up during something, so you guys can check that out. But yeah, we fought for it because obviously we're all such egomaniacs. We're like, hey, this is going to be a cool idea. Why don't you guys come follow us in the backyard or whatever? But it was awesome, man. I mean, like I said, I just think that is shocking me the most, man. I knew I had an audience for this thing, like when I said I tweet out over the summer, but the fact of like just the fan support and the media support, like I'm talking like big media, like Us Weekly, yeah, People Magazine, like the big dogs of pop culture, Entertainment Tonight, E! News. So they're loving it. So that makes me feel awesome because I knew I had an audience, but like to hear that from like people that, you know, I looked up to for so long, it should make me feel really good. I love the episodes, man. I smile the whole time I'm watching them.
Yeah, well, we smile. I mean, we said before we went on, our Thursdays begin with watching the Challenge All Stars, and it's the greatest moment of my day. It's the best moment of the week. Lex Vandenberg from Survivor Africa and All Stars, like during quarantine, his wife, she had a kidney donated right before COVID hit, and so they haven't been able to leave the house at all. And wow. So, you know, Lex is like, you know, what do I need to watch? And I'm just like, you ever watch The Challenge? He's like, no, how is it? I'm just like, you'll love it. And I started watching the two episodes on two seasons on Netflix. He goes, give me more. I need more. I was just like, all right, here's my CBS All Access password.
Right.
And then he's watching Double Agents, and he hates Fessy, of course. And then All Stars hits, and he was like, fair play, what do we have to do to be a part of season 2? He goes, this is the senior circuit, brother. This was made for us.
Yes, it is. It's so fun because you hit the nail on the head, man. And I think one of the reasons why I think like you and other folks are probably liking it so much is, you know, you grew up with a lot of those faces, so you know them personally, like, you know, the Cyruses and the Beths and all that, the Narissas and all that. But like, there's like an emotional, organic relationship you've already established in your head. So it's not like a new character you're introducing to the audience. They They've known these people. They know who Cyrus is. You know, they know who I was from doing all this stuff over the years. So when you have that built-in history with the cast, I mean, it's golden. And people just dig into that nostalgia, man. It's fucking great.
Yeah. And with that, I would even say you brought in the market of people who weren't as exposed to you. Like, I'll admit, I came in as you were exiting the challenge. So that was what it was, X's, I want to say, was your last season on the main show. But I still knew some of you guys and went back and watched some of the older seasons, but there was a lot of people I didn't know. But it was those few other faces that you put you on the board, you put Nehemiah on there, you put Beth up there, and you're like, okay, I'm going to give this a chance. And then you come in, and they've kicked it out of the ballpark. It's amazing.
Thank you so much. The music kicks ass, too, which I love. Because
you can think at Peter Orion Davis on Twitter and Instagram. That's here. Let me I'll put this for those of you watching on YouTube now. It'll be in the comments.
Is he shouting the music out?
Oh man, he is the music supervisor. And as a kid, Peter's favorite show was Survivor. His favorite player of all time, Johnny Fairplay. So
there you go, baby.
We're going crazy over the music every week. I'm just like, this is the greatest show ever for the music alone. Like, the show could have been dog shit, and the music is so good. And right. Peter's listening to we're watching the podcast, and he's just like, holy shit, my idol is fucking putting over my work. So,
yes. You have Wilson Phillips on today with Hold On. I mean, that just fucking set the mood. I mean, every time you think you've heard like something great, it fits perfectly, something else pops up. But I mean, the DMX thing that we had plugged in before he even passed away was a huge tribute we didn't even know about. But like, it's awesome. And we were down there, like, I was talking to one of the producers. I'm like, the music has to match the era of this show. Yeah. She was like, 1,000%. So like, when I listen to it and hear those things pop up, I'm like, this makes me, it makes me laugh. And I was down there, you know what I mean?
All right, so are you have a producer credit on this?
Yeah, I have an EP credit, so.
Okay, so.
I'm the dummy, Johnny. I'm the dummy. I've been doing this game long enough.
Smart. Well, we have a question. Why was this not called the Challenge OGs?
So I get asked that a lot, so I'm glad you asked that. Because when I initially started it, you saw the We Want OGs kind of hashtag on Twitter and Instagram, and I did the Twitter page as well as the Instagram page. As we started going down this rabbit hole of We Want OGs, which I thought would be great because it was just such an established thing already. But, you know, the powers that be, MTV or Paramount Plus, they switched gears to All Stars because I think not only does it widen the net a little bit, because you honestly, when we went down there this year, we had a lot of hurdles just to make the show even possible with COVID, the pandemic, you know, having people pass the test and be healthy. And not only that, but it happened so fast that you'd be amazed how many people like didn't have their passports updated, like just some stupid stuff that you think was minimal stuff. So the fact
and getting a passport in COVID almost mission impossible.
Right, exactly. So when they switched it to All Stars, it kind of then, I didn't want people to think it was All Stars, meaning like, oh, this person's won the most or this person has lost, you know, whatever. But I think the way they look at it as a franchise and the way I want the audience to look at it is All-Stars can be used in a lot of ways, right? It could be an All-Star personality that people remember, an All-Star, you know, moment of challenge history, an All-Star, you know, Big Easy. He almost died in the final. That was an All-Star moment. People remember that. That's what he's has on his, you know, chip on his shoulder for years. So to bring him back to try to, you know, rewrite that wrong that he thinks he's been living through all these years. So I would love it to be called OGs, but I think in terms of just what was going on, it allows us to listen. In a perfect world, it will be Real World Road Rules and Fresh Meat for as long as possible. I mean, I had so many people reach out, like over 80 people I got that were tentatively in the pool of picking. So I think by having All Stars, it gives us a little more leeway. But we'll, okay. You know, I want to stick to the tradition of OGs as much as possible.
Have you considered the possibility? I mean, like, you know, we've seen the challenge morph into, you know, bringing in Big Brother and you know, the rumor and innuendo is like 8 survivors coming in for season 37. Have you considered the possibility for the Challenge All-Stars to potentially bring in a survivor or a Big Brother?
Well, this is what I would like. This is the path of the show that I would like to, if I, you know, had the crystal ball, right? So you do 8 or 9 seasons of All Stars, and that's strictly MTV, Road Rules, you know, Real World, and some Fresh Meat cast. And then as almost a spin-off series, just a one-off, not like it's going to be an extra episode of our series, but you almost then have the old school cast versus that new MTV school cast, almost like a Super Bowl. So you have like me going against Fessy in a hall brawl and seeing how he's going to pop off to me. so that, and then at that point, once we've explored that, I do see that, or I do see the opportunity to spin that my show off on its own and do a Survivor Big Brother version of All Stars, where you guys have your umbrella and you only do that. So I'm not sure it's going to be blending MTV with all the other shows like the new series, but I definitely, you know, could see you, you know, going against a Big Brother folks in that kind of environment, because I think, again, the thing that gets the audience is the nostalgic feel of everything, and the fact that, you know, you guys have seen it. We're not going out there and playing tug of war every season or every challenge. So everyone,
I think half your cast thought that.
Right. So,
surprise.
Again, it's not pin the tail on the donkey either, right? So it's like, you know, there's balanced stuff, there's trivia stuff. You'll see as we go along, there's puzzles and stuff that anyone can win on any given day. So it's not like every challenge is Alton climbing a net, because he's going to win in that challenge every single time. You know what I mean? So I think there's an opportunity for many different ideas. I've had a lot of Big Brother people reach out to me being like, dude, let's do this with our thing. I'm like, well, let's, you know, I'm confident that this is going to go many seasons just from the reaction that I've got so far, and Paramount Plus is thrilled with it. I always like to boast and say we put them on the map. I mean, I know they've had, you know, CBS All Access for a while, but I mean, I think we did put them on the map, to be honest with you.
I mean, I know you did. I mean, like when they dropped during the quarantine, they dropped the 2 seasons of Survivor on Netflix. They, what was it? Kaigeon and
Heroes versus Villains.
And so many people reached out to me. They're just like, oh man, do you know when they're going to drop more Survivor on Netflix? Because like it's not anywhere. You can't watch it anywhere. And I'm like, it's on CBS All Access. They're like, no, like a streaming service.
Yeah.
right.
Yeah, CBS All Access. And they're like, never mind. If you don't want to answer, it's okay. And then fucking, you know, here's the challenge also. It's like, hey, have you heard about Paramount Plus? It's a streaming service. You'll love it, Fair Play. I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah. You know what really was crazy, John? It was like seeing commercials like during the NCAA tournament. Like the final 4 games, like the championship game, I think we had like 2 commercials in it. And I was like, this is just, that's wild to me. You know what I mean?
The Super Knowing Bowl. That,
yeah, the Super Bowl even had a Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, so, yeah.
Hey, funny story. Funny off the crazy story. The night of the Super Bowl, we were heading to an elimination, and our bus driver from Argentina had his phone. And our producer was like, all right, guys, you know, we have a few minutes or setting up. So you guys can watch the Super Bowl on this phone for like 5 minutes. I shit you not, they went to a commercial, and the first commercial was Paramount Plus, and everyone on the bus was like, fuck yes, this is fucking. So like, it was like, it was meant to be. We didn't see any football, just a commercial of Paramount Plus, and they were up on that fucking mountain competing against each other. It was funny.
I love, so have you heard any kind of numbers from Paramount Plus on the viewership?
I haven't heard any numbers, but I mean, judging from the fact that when they dropped the trailer and we had over 5 million views in a week, I mean, that was enough for me, because I'll give you a thing to put that against. So they hyped up the Real World Homecoming. They hyped that up a lot. And in their first week, I think they had like 800,000 views of the trailer. So when I knew we had 5 million plus, I knew we had something totally right, and we were in the right ballpark, because they see that show as a success.
Wow. So has there been any discussion already for a season 2?
I mean, nothing official, but I mean, you don't have to be a mathematician to know that, or you know, brain surgeon to know that. I see what's going on social media. I see, you know, you have Barstool Sports, who hates everything, right? Barstool Sports shits on everything. They called the first episode of the Challenge All-Stars perfect. And they said, yeah. And then they followed that up with saying, tune in to reality. They said, tune in to Challenge All-Stars. It's a masterclass of how to do reality television. So like, I feel super confident, put it that way.
Yeah. So
because it's fun and mindless. It's fun and mindless, yeah. And people love nostalgia and the music is great, period.
What's your dream scenario for the amount of seasons per year? Like, are you looking, would you like 2 a year, 3 a year, 4 a year? What's your dream scenario? Discounting the money.
I think realistically, probably 2 a year would be the wheelhouse. Maybe if they could do a third at some point, maybe, but 2 a year, because I think what they're trying to do, which they've done in the past, is, you know, have you follow that MTV version, right? And as that's tailing off, an all-star version comes on, and you can flip-flop the productions and then kind of have four challenges throughout the year of the same sort of theme. And the fact that we got TJ over to kind of be a bridge between both challenges is awesome. And I will say this, when this thing was all over, he reached out to me and was like, dude, I got to reach out to you. He goes, this is the most fun I've had doing a challenge in probably fucking 15 years. Yeah. And you can see it. He's laughing at us. Like he's so involved with challenge. It's fun to watch, man. You can see that he's fucking having the time of his life.
I feel like it's the most fun he's ever had hosting a challenge ever in the history of the challenge.
I think right. And like just, and he can, you know, I just think he relates to us better because he's known us now for over the years forever. Yeah. I think 2012 was when he started, which is crazy.
Yeah. I'm really happy that he ended up hosting because I think it's perfect. But obviously we know that the filming time was pretty limited. It's not the same as a normal challenge season. So do you predict that that's going to be about the same amount of length each season in the future?
I think in order to get some really top-notch, those classic OG cast members, I think the perfect kind of range would be about a 3 or 4 week like we did. Hopefully, if we can cut out the 7 days of quarantine, even if it was a couple days of quarantine, it would be even better. But a lot of people didn't know this either. We flew to Dallas first, the cast and the alternates, and we quarantined there for 3 days and did all of our physicals. And then we went down to Argentina and had to quarantine another week. So that's fucking 10 days. All right.
Well, be honest, Mark. I mean, I'm looking at the lodge. I'm looking at the overhead shots. You guys filmed this shit in Big Bear. Please stop.
No. Come on.
All right. Lake Tahoe. My bad. No.
Isn't it cool though, man? It's a fucking great house and that lake in the background. Oh, yeah. In the back. It was so cool. And we would wake up to like coyotes and foxes and deer and crazy shit in the backyard, which was wild. I was like, this is awesome, man. This is like really
good. They have coyotes and foxes and all that Big Bear, Mark. So I just
we created like our own little NBA bubble. So every morning we woke up before you went to have breakfast, you got your COVID test. Every day. There was never a day that we didn't do that. So we kind of created this own little NBA bubble, man. And once you were in there, like it was normal. Like when I went back to the States after shooting, I was like, oh fuck, I got to put a mask back on. This is going to be weird. But like, yeah, however long we were down there or however long you were down there, you didn't have to wear a mask because you were tested so much. It was crazy.
I love it.
The crew too.
All right. So getting back to the previously on, so, you know, we see Big Easy with the ass rub, and then we actually see some scenes and we see you and Nehemiah talking. And we had Nehemiah on last week, and I was just like, hey, that conversation was kind of awkward, you and Mark. And he was like, yeah, well, you know, he goes, I think it was awkward because there's this alliance that I asked Mark about throughout the season, and Mark says there's no alliance. And he goes, I'm pretty positive there's an alliance. So he said, once we had you here this week, if we could ask you about the alliance.
Listen, everyone tries to not – say there, Johnny, you know this. It's not alliances. It's not like you have a piece of paper and draw names on it, but it's like Nehemiah knows who I'm close with, and I know who Nehemiah is close with. It's not like a mystery. So, you know, if I have to pick saving Derek over Nehemiah, you know, Nehemiah knows I love Nehemiah, but I've known Derek for a long time, longer than Nehemiah.
Absolutely.
And know him better. So it's not like it's this evil term alliance. It's just I've known some of these people that a lot longer. And Nehemiah was my roommate. So I always told Nehemiah, look, man, I root for you because I share personal conversations with Nehemiah every night. You know, like even the night after he ate the pepper and came back to the house during the elimination when he was like getting sick and whatnot. You know, I witnessed Nehemiah up in my room for 2 hours throwing up and going to the bathroom because it just affected him so much. But like, it wasn't necessarily like the house was against the other house or this alliance was versus that alliance. It was like, you knew who your friends were and you knew I don't even know if they show you, but there's a time coming where, you know, strategies are exposed and alliances are exposed, and it's not even a bad thing. It's like everyone knows the game. You need some numbers, right, to get through the game. And, you know, if I know Cyrus and Derek for 15, 20 years, I'm probably going to pick them over, you know, Tech, who I love Tech, but I've only known Tech for a short amount of time. It's no hard feelings. It's just, you know, I loved having Tech there, but it's like, you know, you're still trying to win $500,000. So there's money involved.
Yeah. And what I like about it is with this season in particular, normally on reality television, they make it pretty clear and cut a lot of times on what the alliance structures are, or like in the house, we have this side, we have this side, we have this side. But what I find interesting here is it's more so here are the one-on-one connections that just so happen to intersect with this one-on-one connection. And it's like intertangled and intermingled, which makes it a lot more complicated, I would expect, as both a viewer and as a player to really see past the blurred lines of right. where you stand.
Unlike, you know, even like a Survivor game, Johnny, like we don't have the interview of saying, okay, it's Beth, Cyrus, blank, blank, blank on one side of the house. And on the other side of the house, it's Bing, Bang, Bong. Like, we never had that. I mean, people just kind of knew after a while. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be some tumultuous nominations toward the end of the show because it gets a little squirrely. I mean, everyone's like, why'd you vote Ace in the first thing you like Ace? So I'm like, I love Ace. But if you went and watched the episode again, Ace doesn't even get his fucking hair wet. We're doing a fucking water mission. He swims out there and dips his eye down, and he comes back completely dry. I'm like, dude, you set yourself apart for failure. I mean, if you have a water mission, get fucking wet. Don't come back with your hair dry. You know what I mean? And then not go in a second. So I'm like, but I love Ace. But I would have had Ace's back forever. But it's hard to fight for people that don't step up. You know?
Yeah. Or fight for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, and I have a surprise for you guys.
Uh-oh.
Remember this?
Oh, hey! Hey!
That's right there.
There it is.
There's the
guy. Oh, man. Look at a 50-year-old man calling himself the Godfather. I don't know. I have a question on that. Is a 20-year-old supposed to call themselves the Godfather? I mean, I think 50 is the appropriate age to fucking call yourself a Godfather. Jesus, you've earned it.
And I sent that out on Twitter watching it. We do these live tweets and the cast live tweets and watch it at 8 p.m. On Thursday. So I sent back to Jemmy. I said, listen, first of all, I didn't give myself that name. I was given that name and it came from earning that name. So someday I love Jemmy. We're just fucking around.
But,
I mean, I think I've done enough in the game and even inside and out of the challenge in terms of reality TV that I will wear that crown proudly. And people think, like, did you make that crown? I'm like, no, I didn't make the crown. So yes, in the house is a great drawing. He's just an insane artist. So yes, made the 90s house party poster. He made my crown. So yes, it was a good moment. I felt it was worthy of wearing the crown. And I'm all about making some entertainment, right? I was like, I want to bring all these girls and sit them down, make a good TV show and be fun.
Love it. Love it. And cool. For the record, you are the only Challenge Hall of Famer.
Yeah. And that is true. That is a true. And I just
I'm a Survivor Hall of Fame. Did they give you a candy dish?
I got a ring.
Oh, really? Yeah, I got a piece of shit candy dish. Yeah, it's great.
Johnny, you're missing out. They don't treat you as well.
I'm gonna give you the ring. Hold on, real quick. You're gonna
look. Oh man, I'm leaving this interview.
Yeah. Johnny, while he's getting the ring, we do have a quote from Yes. That start this episode that I very much enjoy. And for the podcast listeners, you need to watch the video.
Oh, wow.
You're seeing his Hall of Fame ring right now.
Yeah.
And it's impressive.
It says, nice. Yeah, it's literally like wearing, like I wear this on the plane sometimes just as a joke. They're like, oh, is that like a Super Bowl ring? I'm like, no, it's a MTV Challenge, you know, Hall of Fame ring. And that started the conversation right there.
Much more impressive. You know what I mean? What do they call it? The challenge, the fifth
major sport,
the pro sport. Yeah.
Yeah. So that counts.
Hey, yeah, I exactly. buy it.
So I got,
but yeah, so I got that. Yes has yeah. this incredible quote that I think really reads into the episode, but you don't know it yet. And it's like, the game is changing by the hour, but people's emotions and relationships are constantly flowing. This is a chess game and it's 24/7. If you check out, you will be in trouble. And sort of like an ominous warning for what we further see as we go down the episode.
Oh, yes.
Of course, Yes needs to run for political office, because that guy can talk himself out of any situation. But he's genuine about it. He's not doing it like car salesman would do it to sell a car. Yes is like one of the most genuine dudes that, I don't know, he's a calming device too. So if you want to like, run something by someone, or if you're having a bad day, you want to hash it out with someone, Yes is the guy to go to, because he's always the most level-headed and seems to give the best advice. Because I'm, you know, I thought that I was like that a lot of times, but I found myself like, you know, I didn't see eye to eye with Kendall in the beginning of the show. She just exhausted me. She was talking like she just overanalyze everything. And like, Kendall, like, so like, now that I understand Kendall more, I even was tweeting her today. I'm like, I understand you better. So I don't think is how I did on the show, obviously. But it's like, he's a very calming device. And he was a great surprise too. I mean, Yes has been there in shit 17 or 18 years. I don't even remember.
He's a hidden gem on this season. I mean, like, you know, when the cast is announced, you're like, ooh, Yes. And then, you know, you're just like, is Yes like one of the surprise stars that we were, I mean, Sella and
the cast
Yes,
member you
I
never knew
one and
you
two.
Needed. Yeah.
You're right.
He's the cast member you never knew you needed, right? Same with her.
Yeah. So
she's hilarious, man. I love her.
We had her on a couple weeks ago. Next week we have Trishelle and Yes joining us live. So get ready next week, good. 10 p.m.
Well,
Eastern.
Tell him how I was preaching his praise, you know.
I'll tell him that you
we'll
said
do.
There's no
I love
alliance.
Having.
So yeah. I don't know what that means.
Right.
Yeah. I was just happy that we got to see a little bit more of him tonight, because he has been a little bit quieter in the previous episodes. So I just think hopefully his storyline is going to come to fruition and we get to see more and more of him, because I really do genuinely like Yes.
Yeah.
I think everyone's
absolutely.
Good dude, man.
Yeah. And then and what we see here. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, okay. Well, what I was going to say is to conclude sort of the stuff before the mission, we see three sort of key relationships set, which once again, production's doing a great job of really hitting the bases, telling you the story. You first get Cyrus and Beth talking about their connection, that Cyrus will do anything to help his girl, Beth. That's great.
Yeah, and Beth thinks she looks old. Beth looks younger now than the last time she was on the challenge.
No, she's classic.
I agree. She's like reversing, man. People used to say I look like I'm a. She's 52 years old, man. She's a grown woman that looks like she just looks great.
Yeah. No. If like, you know, like 2005, you know, I was out on the prowl. If I knew then what I know now, I would either be married to Beth or you. I think is.
There you go. I love it.
No one told me.
Good. Dude.
All right, our next storyline, Alex.
Next storyline, we now have Arissa, who is a cannabis chef. She just likes mixing her two favorite things, food and weed. Respect it. And she says she has a chip on her shoulder because the one season she did play, she did not win, and she wants to make a stake in the game. And this is where we first hear from Mark Long, the godfather, going, you say you have a very close connection with Arissa, but you're hoping that she's confident and her head's still in the game because it's only going to get harder.
Yeah.
So maybe like, could you open up a little more about that relationship?
Yeah. So I knew, you know, Arissa was having a hard time in the house just because she has a very strict dietary plan that she follows. Mm-hmm. So you know, and when we come home from elimination or whatnot, it's 1 a.m. and people are like hungry and grabbing food. Like, she had a very set specific space of where she had her food. So like, it was challenging for her, not only doing the challenge and being social, but also just from living because of the dietary habits. So I actually, and I was very serious with her. I said, look, I pulled her aside and I said, hey, I had a quick question. I said, are you having a good time? Like, are you having fun? Because like sometimes when we go out, you'd see her like, she'd just be in the corner in the bar and didn't want to talk to anyone because that was just her mood that day, or just she wasn't vibing. But I put her aside and I was like, are you enjoying this? Or like, is this, I'm like, are you ready to kind of get out of here? Because if you are, you know, maybe I'll use a lifesaver and put you in there if you want to get out. No, she's like, no, I'm here to play and whatnot. So I said, okay, cool. So at that point, I was always checking in with her. And she would actually, you've seen her, the sage that she lights. I would go out, I would find her every morning and she would sage me before the challenge and I took it all in. I'm like, you could sage me every morning. So she used to do that. So we had a connection because I just think from a fan base, a lot of people really loved the Las Vegas Real World and her on it, as well as the other ones like Irulan and Alton and all those guys. But I was always checking in when they're making sure she was cool. But the fact that I didn't get to pick the replacement, which I thought I was going to, that was truly like, that was like an honest statement from me, because there was no type of setting her up. There was no type of let's get it Arissa out of here. I was like shocked, because in the past, I always thought if I used it, I picked the person to replace him. And TJ again threw a fucking curveball, make me look like an asshole. So whatever. We just make it TV though.
Are we getting Stephen Hill on a future season?
Oh, I don't know about Steven. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, everyone, funny, Johnny, because now everyone that was on the, look, we had a shit ton of people that wanted to do this season, but like everyone, like there was a few people on the fence, and even all those people since they've seen it are like, oh, I've seen the show. It's really good. You know,
yeah,
you know,
now
like,
I want in.
Like, look at me now. Yeah. So it's kind of funny.
So now, like, I, like, you know, I was thinking about the names that were missing, and I think you guys killed it with the casting. I'm just like, you know, this is great. At first I was a little upset about Darrell and Anissa. I'm just like, man, they were just on the other one. They're not done with that. But then I was thinking, I'm just like, well, fuck, if Survivor does like, you know, like a Survivor Legends type deal, you know, like this, and you know, right, they pull, right, you know, right, the, you know, the OGs and do this, you know, and it's just like, okay, well, you know, I want to do that. You know, that's ideal. But then say Survivor's like, hey, you know, season 50, we're bringing the greatest ever. And I'm just like, whoa, I'm not done with that.
Like, I mean, right.
I just want to do this OG shit. But if you're doing like the greatest ever, I want to come back. So then I'm like, yeah, Darrell and Anissa are fine. I got no problem with
that. Yeah, yeah. And Anissa, the funny thing about Anissa is she's done so many, but she's never been to a final and she's never won. So, and the cards are getting a little stacked against her in the I call it the younger version, right? Because it's a little younger cast. So having her over was great because, again, that younger cast knows Anissa and that younger cast knows Darrell. So they are OGs, but you also have to think smart of, hey, they can identify with that younger cast or the younger fan as well. And, you know, so many things like, ever like, well, you should have had Coral. I'm like, yeah, would have loved to have Coral, but we just, this thing got picked up and greenlit and pushed so fast that there were so many other factors involved of even getting people to go down there or be a part of it. So look, in a perfect world, I hope MTV and Paramount Plus gets all of the grades at some point. It's just that first one, and I'm like you, Johnny, when I looked at the cast on paper, because I just brought them the people, like I said, these are who I reached out to, here's 80 people, and then once I was a cast member, I didn't know shit. Like, I didn't know who the final cast was. I didn't know that TJ was even hosting. I was in the dark because they didn't want to have me have a competitive advantage at all or the format. So I'm like, so the fact that, you know, it was rushed so quickly and all the extra parameters of COVID and passports and people getting off work. So when I looked at it on paper, like you, I was like, oh, a pretty solid cast. But then once I went down there and saw how it unfolded, I'm like, this is gonna be fucking awesome. And no one who has said that has come back and bitched about the cast. They're all like, this is the best thing ever. This is the greatest cast ever. What a blend person. So I'm like, we know what we're doing, you know.
If TJ had said no, do you think you're potentially the host?
I probably. Or I would have probably maybe reached out to like an old school, like a Johnny Mosley. Remember, he used to host way back in the day. He would have probably been a really high option. Because I wanted to keep it nostalgia across the board. And I love that TJ made himself available, but I could see Johnny Mosley coming back and doing something. And, you know, we had people like The Miz and Jamie Chung, even Kid Hoover from Road Rules, wanting to come down and be a part of it. It's just fucking COVID. Like, they can't come down and quarantine 7 days for doing something for 1 or 2 days. It doesn't make any sense. So,
no, like we'll see what happens. Hearts Reality in December that we were at, like, the WWE people that were there, half the people couldn't go because they had the NXT pay-per-view network special. Like, 2 days later, they're like, nope.
Right.
So we got like, only the people that were not going to be on TV for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. So it was, but it all worked. Like, it all fucking worked, and it worked great. And like I said, I couldn't be more happy, man. It was, I still am getting like, I'm getting such big interview like requests, like, and it started April 1st. So we're episode 4, and like, next week I'm going on with Mario Lopez. You know, he's going to do an interview with him. Then I'm going on with Ellen Kay, who was Ryan Seacrest's co-host for years out in L.A. So, like, it's not like I'm going on like the fucking, you know, P-Bunk commercial radio station in Omaha, Nebraska, or whatever it is. Like, these are big outlets that are really into it, which makes me feel fucking cool, you know?
Well, when you see Mario Lopez, put it into the stratosphere that either you or Darrell wants Jake Paul.
Oh, we already, by the way, that I will. Are you on Twitter at all, Johnny, or just Instagram?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on Twitter.
Okay, so Darrell and I just did an Us Weekly article about that that's coming out. So I'm going to post that tomorrow, but we went right at his ass. So that's coming out tomorrow. But
how great was that pay-per-view though?
Oh, I mean, it's a great, like, I love the entertainment of it. It's just, I want him, like, you know, I love what Jake Paul does. And I even said in the article, I said, I'm not a Jake Paul hater. It's just, why doesn't he try to fight someone with a little bit of boxing experience? Like, I could fuck better than fucking Ben Askren. And like, hands down, but, like, in terms of a show, like, I love to watch, like.
He had a motherfucking robot.
Yeah, I loved watching Justin Bieber sing 3 songs. You know what I mean? I love watching Snoop Dogg high. I loved watching Oscar De La Hoya bombed up his mind, which unfortunately he's drunk half the time. Like, I loved it. It was a great show.
Fucking Ric Flair hosting slap fights.
Yes, exactly.
And Pete Davidson regretting career decisions right before your eyes. Best pay per view I've ever seen.
Thing. He was bashing the whole thing. Like, yeah, like he was like the anti-host that night.
No, the funniest thing when Snoop's like, he's got a motherfucking robot, and Pete Davis is like, that's an unemployed actor. He served you coffee earlier today, Snoop.
Yeah. He's great, man. He's so fucking funny. I love it.
All right. Well, as I said, I'll take Johnny, you.
So, Johnny, another quick question. So, I got the ring, right? I got the ring, and they also did they have your own figure?
I got, hold on.
Look at this guy.
Johnny has something good. It.
Yeah. Johnny. Yeah.
Okay, good.
There you go.
We're in there.
Friends. You guys should be friends. There they are. I fucking
this
love
is fantastic.
It.
I can compete there.
I love it. Amazing.
My Matt Bischoff figure.
Hey,
is
the best. Hey, Johnny, the best. I still have a boomerang of you walking into Hearts of Reality, the village, as Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still have a boomerang. I'll send it to you on Twitter. Like, you're real serious, and it's the boomerang, so you're strutting, and you're like back and forth in Robin thing. It's fucking hilarious.
I have my moments.
I love it.
All right, so our third storyline going into the challenge is what, Katie?
Yeah, it's Katie saying, Derek, keep this a secret, but I actually did some workouts before coming to the challenge, so maybe I'm not the layup everyone thinks I am.
Yeah, so heights and water suck, but Katie was tough as balls before, And she appears to be secretly just as tough, if not more tough than, like, anyone that thinks heights and waters cool, like, good on you. You ain't me. And you ain't ever gonna, like, that's a rare breed. Heights and water always suck. Always have that variable that you're just like, oh man, that really fucking hurt. This can really go catastrophically wrong. There's not really a training for the worst case scenario on those situations. And Katie, unfortunately, over the years has found that worst case scenario.
The worst luck.
But despite that, she's tough as fuck.
Yeah. And to go even a step further on the heights and water thing, it's like, they're not telling you, hey, go up to the edge and dive off at your leisure. It's always a unexpected fall. Like, it's through the thing that gives away, or a trap door that gives, or something that's a little, or the rope that pulls, right? So it's always an unexpected, because even on the trivia, when we did, like, the wood kept getting smaller and stepped through, I stepped through my second one and went through, and I came down flat on my back. And I mean, it took the wind out of me so bad. Like, I was like, motherfucker, because I'm usually pretty fearless with that kind of stuff. I was like, fuck, this hurt. And I'm like, I had no type of preparation for that, because who knows how you're going to step through the fucking broken wood. So I was like, damn, man, this sucked. So, like, I totally get it. And she had to keep replaying that thing where she, that flashback where she jumps, smacks her face, and does, like, fucking four, twirls. She's got balls, man. I mean, she's not afraid of much. It's just, I get it. She's a mom now, and in her 40s. She doesn't want to bash her face.
I think she's secretly the Derek of the females.
Yeah, you could be right. She's queen of elimination. I mean, she loves that. She'd rather do that than compete at the time. She loves elimination, where half the other people are afraid of eliminations.
Yeah. So I guess it's time for On the Ropes. Holy moly, was this all right? Quick rant as we go into this challenge, Lauren. Please air your grievances to Mark and have this fixed going into future fucking seasons, please.
Mark, tell me. The colors, they kill me. Yeah. I got to be honest.
They kill everyone, Mark. Literally, no one likes the colors.
We can't do the colors. We need something different.
Yeah.
What was the colors? What was it, like, gold, silver?
Gold, silver, copper, gray. Copper.
They're all the same color, Mark.
Right. No, I hear you. It should be like, would you rather have, like, a team name?
No.
Green, blue.
Yeah, blue. Yeah.
Purple.
Just, as I said, like, a little bit, if you're just like, they're the gray, right? They're the silver, yeah. They're the copper. That's the same fucking color.
So it's like when Durrell pulls the silver out of the water of the cube, and it was supposed to be copper, right? It was
very
exactly.
We understand the reasoning. You know, it's legendary.
You guys have just touched on some major foreshadowing for the next episode. If you're worried about colors,
thank God.
They already previewed it, so I can tease it. But I mean, I'm not giving away anything. There's it shows you walking up with the wood.
Yeah,
been doing all the crazy shit, right? So there's a puzzle involved next episode, that the colors are so similar that it just is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, we understand the reasoning, and whoever thought of that, it's just, you know, they're just like, man, I was really smart on this one. You weren't. You were fucking wrong as fuck.
Yeah, like it's all going to be
yellow, red, black.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally distinct, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It makes sense. I get it. But when last episode, you're like, you have the gray team and the silver team. And I'm thinking there, what's the difference?
There's no difference.
Right. No, I hear you. No take
it. It's like, this team is the bronze team. This team is the copper team. It's like, go fuck yourself.
Oh, then they got bronze, they got gold, copper. Like, it's all the same shit, right?
That is the only issue we have there. That's
fucking perfect. You have one flaw in the show. That's all we're asking you to fix. One flaw.
The colors are too similar.
Yeah. Amazing camera angles. The music is fucking perfect. The cast is fucking great. Okay. Everything is fucking 100. The fucking colors. I mean, every episode's like, God damn it. Stop it.
You know what was crazy? You guys touched on the production of it. Like, when we shot back in the day, we didn't have drones or anything like that. Like those drone shots, even to me, when I watch it, like, dude, that's fucking cool. Like those drone shots through the house and the backyard, like that's definitely a step up in technology since I did these. And people have the big cameras on their shoulders.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, well, yeah. Survivor, you know, it would take, you know, if they wanted to have the overhead shot, you know, they have the fucking helicopter, you know, or the plane that comes over, right. And, you know, that's thousands of dollars. You can't use the fucking audio because the fucking helicopter, right. You know, wow. So like there's right. So, and now it's just, you know, there's silence and that motherfucker can be right beside you and it's not interfering in the shot.
Yep. They caught every time we left the house, you'll see that leaving the house out the front door, all of us, that was totally drunk.
Yeah.
Every time.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right, so spoiler alert, Mark wants the lifesaver. I wonder if he'll get a break. But no.
You're good.
You're good. Can you hear us?
Yeah, you're still here, Mark.
Mark?
Yes. Can you hear us?
We can see you, Mark.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you.
What the fuck happened here?
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
But you know what? While he's getting his stuff set up, let's go over the team.
Yes or no? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't hear you guys. What the fuck?
I don't know. We'll take a break. And,
yeah, let's take a break and give him a chance to come back.
Yeah.
And
when it comes to eating better and consuming less sugar, let's be honest. Most healthy snacks don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who make snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with less than 1 gram of sugar.
Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars contain less than 1 gram of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, and they're only 150 calories.
They're great for anyone following a keto lifestyle and the perfect snack for anyone who is trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm personally not a keto eater, but I love these nut and seed bars. I try to have one of these always on me for a snack because I'm usually trying to train for a new running distance I'm trying to hit. I think 2021 is going to be the year for my first full marathon, and I think Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars are going to help me get there because they're giving me the energy I need and the nutrition I need to make those health goals possible.
Wow. Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars have the perfect balance of sweet and salty, a crunch from whole nuts and seeds, but still manage to be soft and chewy. How do they do it? They come in delicious flavors like sea salt, dark chocolate, pecan almond, and my favorite, no contest, love these so much, game changers, if you will, the peanut butter dark chocolate.
So good. They're perfect for a quick snack to satisfy your sweet tooth without any guilt. Enjoy Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars as a quick breakfast, while running errands, or after a workout.
In addition to being keto friendly, these bars are gluten-free, plant-based, and non-GMO. So with no soy, trans fat, sugar alcohols, or artificial flavors.
They really taste incredible, and you can't beat the low sugar nutrition or taste they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door.
Try it for yourself and see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering promo code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer.
So to get started, just go to monkpack.com, that's MUNKPACK.com, and select any product, and then use promo code SURVIVOR, they love it when we do that, at checkout to save 20% off your purchase.
Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious foods you can count on, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast.
Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your balls in a few months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with a ball fro. Would you show up to your first day of school without a haircut?
Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Johnny, how's your grooming been lately?
Oh, man, I am sleek, aerodynamic. I'm like that new Tesla. I mean, I got a bunch of 5Ks coming up. I got a bunch of half marathons coming up. Oh, man, I'm going to run so fast. There's no friction between Johnny Fairplay, little Johnny Fairplay, and home sweet home.
Oh, that's good news because Manscaped is here to help everyone else get on that level with their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. It's the best hygiene tool for the modern man.
Because of their ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining.
The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with the Manscaped Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner. Now, the Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant, which ensures that your afternoon stroll doesn't end with your balls sticking to your leg. They call that bat winging. You can eliminate that with a little manscaping, courtesy of the Crop Preserver. But the Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. It's made with a soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts that give your balls a boost. Now, subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. Don't be using no old razor. Come on. And making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean.
The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through quarantine with the Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that. And your first date will thank you. And we are back. Mark, can you hear us? Can you hear us, Mark?
Yeah. You're getting me, right?
Yeah.
Yep. We're good.
Okay, we're back and we're good. The host
has unmuted my mic. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay, right. So I feel like it's a spoiler. We see Mark wants a lifesaver. Well, you get it.
He needs the power in his hands.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So, all right. So we have the random team draw, and I love it so random that we have BFFs, Mark and Derek on the same team. We have Ruthie and Anissa, who just had a quarrel the night before.
Yeah.
The luck of the draw here. How amazing is that?
You know what's crazy is he's like, he could be like, all right, we're going to do random. And then he'd throw these things in the ground and then he would pick them up. And like Big Easy, like always had Katie and they've had like a huge history. Right. And like, I mean, mine was pretty random, but like, I remember Big Easy going, dude, I'm always getting Katie. What the fuck? I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'm like, it's random news. It's me, man. I'm like, I have no idea. But people are like, how are the teams picked? I'm like, I have no idea how they're picked. But anyway, he would reach into a thing, though, and pull names out. Though. I mean, he did it Big Brother BO style.
Yeah, well, Vince McMahon does that during the Royal Rumble, and I'm here to tell you, Mark, that right. Right. Number 30 in the Royal Rumble is not fucking random. It's the same bag, I promise you.
Hey, that didn't work the first episode. Hey, that didn't work though. The first episode, right? The first episode, like I thought my team was stacked in the water. Remember the water?
Dude, on paper, it's a slaughter. That first challenge.
I know. Well, I didn't know, like, Ruthie. I'm like, Ruthie, you're from Hawaii. You should be able to swim across the other side of this fucking island right now. I'm like, why are you calling for the lifeguard? You know what I mean? Like her, she disappointed me. Cyrus did well, but Ace disappointed me. Letarian almost drowned. After that, Letarian goes like this to me. Hey, I didn't tell anyone, but I can swim. But as soon as I stop swimming and try to like wade water, I don't know how to do that. He goes, I will drown. You saw him actually trying to drown.
Yeah.
If he would have just kept swimming, he'd just kept swimming around in circles.
But there you go.
Almost drowned. Anyway, that's
all. Hey, but he learned some valuable information that day. Just keep fucking swimming.
Right. Exactly.
You guys should have just had Ysela on your team. Then you would have been fine.
Oh, my God. How amazing. Ysela steals every single second that she can with just fucking television gold. So we have her is just like, I don't trust Kendall. I'm telling you right now, she don't try. I was like, how great is that? Because we see like the camaraderie with your team. And then, you know, let's see the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, she's like, you already proved to me I can't trust you. She's great, though. Again, you see Stella on paper, you're like, what? Okay, this, all right, whatever. But then you see her on the show, she's a fucking huge hit.
My favorite person on the show. And I mean, and I know, I've known so many of you guys for so many years, and Acela's my favorite. How is this possible?
Right. Yeah, she's fucking great, you know?
So we now get the amazing music. Thank you. Thank you, Peter, for this. Hold On by Wilson Phillips. I never thought in a million years we would get Hold On during the challenge. Great. I popped so huge. It only to be followed by Darrell working his magic in a confessional, saying that Big Easy looks like an overgrown leprechaun taking a shit on a wire. Yeah, possibly the best confessional in challenge history. You don't get this on MTV.
I mean, I freaking died laughing at that. I was dying laughing. And Big Easy has texted me since. He's like, hey, big thanks to me looking like I'm completely sunburned and drunk every fucking scene. I'm like, great. Because his face is always red. He's like, oh, yeah. Sunburned. Yeah. He's like, fuck.
But did you inform him that there was no CGI-ing happening on this?
Right.
Like, I love it when they're just like, well, they made me, the way they showed me, that wasn't really me. And I'm just like, motherfucker, this is reality TV. There ain't no CGI. That was you. Stop it.
Right. You're right.
But reality TV is cheap.
There's a lot of great. Yeah. That moment from Darrell is hilarious. I was sitting watching my girlfriend at 8 o'clock. Her and I both fucking laughed out loud. I'm like, that's fucking hilarious because Big Easy's going to hate it. I know he's going to hate it.
Oh, I loved it. So next we have Sail Away by Enya for Katie. How beautiful is that?
Yeah.
I mean, home run. Sail away, home fucking run. So, and to be fair, when it is Katie's time to go, she's got no chance. I mean, like, there's two ropes, and of course they're the top two that she would literally have to jump to fucking grab. And even if she were to grab, do her best Alton impression, there's still no way that they win.
No.
Right. 100%.
Too far behind. 100%.
Yeah. So
we actually, by the way, we actually went first. Like they kind of reversed some of the order there. We went first, just crushed. So I knew we set the bar high, but that's beside the point. It was a good win.
And then we see right there, Kendall and Kellyanne are legit as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone, the
OG Barbie Beast.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Killing it. So,
The OG Barbie Beast.
So then
they're both, Kellyanne and Kendall are both great. They're
studs. They're studs. Oh yeah,
for sure.
So next we have Nehemiah versus Derek, main event anywhere. Oh my God, how cool is see? I mean, because you want to see in these team encounters, you want to see those matchups you've been waiting for. I mean, like, you know, like we want to see Mark Long versus Fessy. We want to see, you know, like there's these dream matchups that we've had in our head for years, and then to see, like, you know, Nehemiah versus Derek is like, oh man, this is what you pay your money for right here.
And it was so close. If you watch it again, I mean, Nehemiah was so. If Nehemiah gets back up there and doesn't get cut, I mean, obviously, I could have eaten Beth. That's fucking a no brainer. But if Nehemiah gets back up there, it's a completely different game. So that was very important for Derek to come out of the gate. And we're like, and you know, they were trash talking before. Like, it was fun. It was cool.
So, but what song do we get next? Oh, a little Winger. If you will.
Yes. Yes.
Easy come, easy go. That is actually not on this vinyl, but I do. No one needs to own more than one Winger vinyl. So for those of you that are like, that's not the one. I got the one I need. But hey, shout out. So Peter says every episode he's trying to, you know, throw in like one deep cut. And this was it. Great, great cut. Well played, Peter. Easy come, easy go. Right. Very strong. So
that's fucking awesome. Yeah.
And then the showdown that we didn't know we needed, but we did. The Godfather versus Beth. Yeah. it's about to get weird. Are you proud of that moment?
Right. It was just my thing at that point was if you watch it, I just, I flew across the ropes because it was like, there was no panic because she was just so la la la. Like she didn't want to fall. I totally get it. But it was, yeah, I would rather went against like an Alton, but they set their own order. So they set them up. They set themselves up for that failure. Yeah. Hey, man, right. You got to win, right? I love cutting basketball.
So, challenge is over. You guys dominate. Congratulations. You get the lifesaver. Beth is in the arena. And I'm sitting here at this point. I'm just like, I want fucking evil Beth. We haven't seen evil Beth yet. Like, let's see the claws out. Let's right. go. But no, we get evil Godfather instead, holding court. I'll take evil Godfather. That's fun.
It, Johnny, you know this as well as I, and I said this earlier. If anyone's using this fucking lifesaver, it better be me. And I was using it no matter what. And the fact that it was Katie, so that I mean, I've known Katie forever. The fact that I could save her made it even better. I mean, it's totally realistic. But I was, you know, but like, if Kellyanne had lost, Kellyanne was getting saved that day because I wanted to see. What the hell? Like, I want to see, do I pick? Does the house pick? Does TJ pull it out of a hat? I don't know. But I think in terms of, and you don't see a lot of either, like, TJ would build this thing up. Are you going to use the lifesaver? It's fucking epic. This, that, you know, I'm like, heck yeah, I'm going to use it. So I just figured it was the perfect time. And the fact that it caused such a riff, like when he went right to the crowd and they started having to vote right away, it set panic through all of them. I mean, you
it
saw
was so
Durrell,
great. It was great. It was great TV. So, I mean, like, as a viewer, if no one uses the fucking lifesaver, I'm saying fuck all of you guys. It's like, dude, like, it's a part. You're denying me part of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And you see people complaining about it. Like, you see Jemmy complaining about it last episode, and you saw they're like, we want people to say names. We want those lines drawn here. Yeah. But everyone's like, oh, I'm going to volunteer myself in. But having that as a twist and making everyone publicly vote, even if they're asking the person who they want, it's still making a precedent there.
Yeah. And if you noticed, you know, a few of those people didn't vote for Isela. So they instantly drew that line in the sand as well. Like a couple people voted for Kendall, Arissa went right at Kellyanne and she was surprised at that. So like, it wasn't just everyone voted for Arissa. So for me, that episode was great because I sat there, my hands were clean, except that I used it. And I was like, I didn't vote anyone in.
What I was surprised by was with Kendall and her vote. She votes for Anissa. In that moment, you should know that it's probably between you and Arissa. I would have thrown my vote on Arissa if I was in Kendall's shoes.
And I didn't understand Arissa not throwing the, like, when Arissa throws the vote on Kelly, I'm like, you got one chance to save yourself. Yeah. And it ain't throwing a fucking hinky vote.
Absolutely.
Right. It's not a wash, right? Yeah. Listen, that's not playing strategy. That's just playing with, you know, emotion at that point. And, you know, God bless Kendall. She just, you know, she probably thought she had the worst relationship with Anissa at that moment and didn't even think about strategy, but you know, it is what it is. But
then you piss off two people. You literally piss off two people. If you know it's going to be between you and another person, vote for that person that's between you and them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They've already,
I don't like
their name.
I mean, I know you don't believe in alliances, but on Survivor, I strongly believe in alliances, and I will not have an alliance with an emotional player, no matter how good a friend they are, because you can't count on emotion. So, I can have someone that likes me.
You can't count on them.
Yeah, like there could be like, you know, my best like Sugar from Survivor. I love Sugar. She's very she's an amazing person, but she's an emotional person. So if I'm out there with someone that likes me okay, or Sugar, who I consider one of my best friends, I'm probably going to the other person because they use logic.
Right. So, exactly. I'm 100%. 100% with you.
So we see Katie volunteers. Badass move. Props to Katie. She's just like, you know, fuck it. Like, I don't like this fucking water shit. I don't like this fucking height shit. But I'll fucking take you on one-on-one. That's my fucking game. Let's play. I love it. So next we get Peter killing it again. I love it when they call me Big Papa. Yeah. I get so happy when I see that half the records that he's choosing. I have about 2,000 records over there, Mark, and I'm just like, bam, yes. I make good decisions in life.
That's awesome.
But that's just like such a fun chain of events here. They have Biggie playing. Derek's introducing you as if he's like a ring announcer. It's like, yeah. Everyone, hold your applause. Yeah, hold your applause. The Godfather's in the building.
Yeah. It was so fun, and I wanted to do it in a fun spirit, not like me thinking I'm a cocky asshole. Like, everyone knew it was done in a fun way, which I love. And
it came across as fun. It was a fucking fire. It was a tale of two stories. Like last week, we have Kendall just using like paranoia, like you know, like everyone's just like, what the fuck? Like, you know, there's nothing fun about Kendall holding the lifesaver hostage. Whereas you is just like, hey, we all want to see it. I'm not going to be a dick about this. I'm not. So it was like the exact opposite.
No, exactly. I loved it, man. It was.
And I think that worked out for you to not come off as an asshole with that, because you did see the paranoid usage of it last week. And so to conversely do what you did, you know, I thought there was a playfulness to it that was complete. So it's just like, you know, if someone's just like, man, that was kind of a dick move. It's just like, did you watch last week? Did you watch this week? It was a good move. It's fun. Everyone, you know, like,
right.
Yeah. The only everyone said yes, except for Kellyanne.
Kellyanne.
From what we saw.
From what we were shown. But that's the thing. Everyone was having a good time with it. No, Derek everyone. Was all in on it, and you were just having a blast with the entire situation. And that's what you have to do, because you don't want to tick people off. And if you come off like an asshole, then they're going to want to turn it on you. But it was so playful, and I enjoyed it all.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to, because we got to the going to the bar when no one's at the bar just to have a different scene is always weird in itself. So it's like, let's at least do something at the bar that's not just sitting there drinking with ourselves. I'm like, let's make a thing. So I'm glad we pulled that off. But yeah, that was my intent, to make it playful. And Derek, we were doing Game of Thrones analogies. Like, he was my hand. Like, he was like the right hand man. So like, we had fun with it, man. It was cool.
Tremendous. So we learned here that your attempt is to keep Arissa safe, but not Kendall, the wild card, because wild cards are tough to play with. You can't count on them. So but then we learn don't fuck with Arissa's money.
No.
In the evolution of real world road worlders from then to now, has there been a more dramatic change in an individual than Arissa?
Oh man, well, a lot of people have reached out to me and says, "Oh, she's just so different. She's this or that." Because if you watch her on original show, she was really playful and, you know, like kind of like a partier, you know, like you see her partying in Vegas and whatnot, had her BFF earline and that connection. But like, she's just, yes, she'd be in the probably the top five of people that have changed the most.
Katie Doyle's up there.
I'm going to give you a crazy story. Is Beth and Cyrus had a viewing thing tonight in Los Angeles, and fucking Arissa showed, like, came and like, I saw Beth and Arissa together and like laughing and having fun. So like, even that's kind of squashed. So it's like, that's the difference between an older cast and a younger cast is, we know it's fucking TV and we don't have to go on Twitter and eat each other, bite each other's heads off. You know what I mean? And it's still cordial. So like, I love seeing them together. I'm going up there on June 3rd for the final episode, and Arissa's like catering the party that Cyrus and Beth, like, it's insane. So it's gonna be a big reunion anyway, so it'll be awesome.
I love it. And I mean, and it doesn't play like,
no hard feelings.
It doesn't play well if you guys were to attack one another on Twitter, right? It's just like, hey, we have jobs and families, like, you know, we're not Johnny Bananas and 20 years old.
Right. No, you're right.
So, Beth FaceTimes her family. How often were you allowed to reach out to the outside world? I mean, because like, you know, talking with Hasela is just like, you know, on the regular challenge, you know, there's a challenge. And then that night you get to go to the dome and, you know, there's the club night. But other than that, there's no alcohol. And Hasela's like, we're grown ass adults. We can drink whenever the fuck we want. So right. Like,
we had the problem with our biggest challenge, because we were up in Big Bear, not Argentina. Just kidding. Our biggest challenge being in Argentina was our house had like minimal Wi-Fi service. Right. So mm-hmm. we got to try to call of our family and friends once a week. And okay. The problem was, if it was your time and the Wi-Fi was down, you were basically fucked, you know? Yeah. So that was a challenge for a lot of people with families, is like, dude, look, I don't mind taking the time to come down here, but if this thing goes multiple seasons, we got to talk to our family once a week, at least. That's minimal.
Yeah.
Because you have kids at home wondering where mom and dad are. So
that proves
how remote we were out in the fucking middle of nowhere in Argentina. Is our cell service sucked. So, but
I've had no cell service in Big Bear.
We didn't have any days off.
So yeah, if you have Verizon, Big Bear. So I mean, so.
But I will say it's amazing how much it helps just seeing someone that is your family, someone that you'll see every day of your life, and how much that like reinvigorates Beth in this instance. Like, she was feeling down and out. She's like, I miss my family. I'm hurt. I don't know if I can do this. And just one little simple like call from family, and now she's like, you know what? Yeah, I need to do this. I need to come back, like Cyrus said, with that 500K smile and really show them I can still do this.
Yeah,
like, this bitch can still go.
Beginning of the episode, I think it's Beth that quits and we get the, you know, see you never from TJ. It's set up for it to be Beth. And then she gets the phone call from home. It's just like, I'm ready. Like people don't like on Survivor, you know, the loved ones challenge is one of the biggest episodes of the season every year. And, you know, and everyone's crying and people don't understand. They're like, you've only been gone for 3 weeks. Why are you crying? And I'm just like, motherfucker, I'm playing a game for $1 million. My best friend in the game still sees $1 million written across my forehead. So no matter how much I trust them or they trust me, they're still not 100% trust. So when that person comes around the corner or, you know, even with you guys, a fucking, you know, Skype call, you're just like, someone I can fucking trust 100%.
Yeah.
So, that means a lot.
And you're so, I mean, you know, you, Johnny, you know this. You have such grueling days where it's like, you know, we're in a challenge house, but you still get barely any sleep because everyone is rowdy and up late. People sleep habits. So, like, just being mentally, physically, and emotionally worn down by seeing that person that you just, like you said, you trust, and all of your walls can come down at that moment. It's emotional. And that's why half the people are bawling half the time on your show and on our show. So it definitely... When people go in to talk to their family and they come back out, it's a total different mood, a total different attitude. It's great. It's a recharging for sure.
Yeah, and I was so happy that Beth got that. As I said,
sorry.
You're all good, man.
As I said, I was so scared that was going to be Beth that quit based on the... Yep.
How much longer do we have? Because my phone says 2 minutes.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Here we go.
Okay, so we want to talk about changing attitude. Arisa gets the votes. And she goes from Zen to like, hey, can I be boxing these bitches right now? I need to get hands on people. And she's just like, tears you guys all apart.
Yeah, no, she said multiple times, I just want to box. I just want to box. And it's just like, when do you get to call your shot in the arena?
Plus, you already see what's there, and you know it's not fucking boxing.
Yeah, they're like those big boxes don't have boxing gloves in them.
Yeah.
So what was that like watching just 0 to 1,000?
Okay.
I knew she was. I mean, I think she knew she was probably not going to win that challenge just by the structure of it. And she was so pissed, I think, at people voting her that she might have thought would have had her back, that it just pissed her off, man. I mean, I get it. She was probably, because you got to remember. earlier in the day, I look at her and go, Arissa, if I use this, you are totally safe.
Yeah, there's no worries
to worry about. She probably came right. Zero.
Don't even bring your shoes.
And then that happened. I'm sure she
show up. Like, show up in flip flop. Bring your Birkenstocks. So, you're fine.
No, yeah, that was not the case.
Fault, unintentionally, but
So all right,
she was heated, man, and but again, she's reached out to me since, and it's all good.
So, well, Mark, we love this. We love you. This is a thank you so much for making this season happen. You're a little tweet goes a long way. You never know, and
it does. Thank you. I said this before. I said, hey, man, I used to think like, you know, all the stuff I did on Reality Remix for Fox Reality or all my Road Rules stuff was kind of like a good legacy to leave in terms of reality television. But this whole story and the fact that I got this going from this tweet and then how well it's responded, like this, if anything, this will be hard to top. So if my legacy goes down to reality television, I was the guy, the reality guy that fucking had a little idea and got everyone behind him. And now it's bigger than ever. So thank you guys for having me. I love that you are supporting it. I love that the cast is reaching out and you guys are having guests on. So thank you guys for covering it and supporting it.
Thank you. And they can find you on Twitter at TheMarkLong.
Yep, everything. Twitter, Instagram.
And then Instagram also the same?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. We're going to keep watching. We're gonna keep talking each and every week about the Challenge All-Stars. Next week, we have Trishel. And yes, oh my God, it's going to be crazy. And remember, support the sponsors. Subscribe YouTube. It's youtube.com/realitynsfw. And wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, search Reality NSFW. Click that subscribe button. Leave a 5-star review if you love it. If you don't like it, don't leave a 1-star review. Just don't fucking listen. I didn't tell you to fucking listen. No one made you. No one came to your fucking house and demanded that you fucking watch. If you don't like it, just don't listen. It's okay. But if you love it, leave a 5-star review. We thank you. We thank Mark Long. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Lauren. And we will see you.
Thank you, guys.
Next week. By the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. You can't focus and you feel tired.
Drinking enough water is critical for a healthy lifestyle that you're trying to maintain. It increases your brain power, boosts your productivity. It can prevent headaches and it'll increase your focus. Not only that, it improves your skin and mood, and it can help with your digestion and give you energy. Wow, it also prevents bad breath and can help you lose weight. But how much water should you drink each day? 10 cups? A gallon? The good news is that it doesn't have to be so complicated. That's why I start my day with Hydrant, because Hydrant helps you hydrate faster.
Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly and keeps you going for longer. Each rapid hydration mix has the 4 essential electrolytes that your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and it packs a punch to help your body hydrate fast and stay hydrated. If you're looking for that extra boost of energy, there's also Hydrant Plus Caffeine, which contains 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. It also is loved by pro athletes, top performers, celebrities, and has thousands of 5-star reviews.
It's made with real fruit juice powder. It's delicious and refreshing, and it comes in a variety of flavors, including iced tea, lemonade, and fruit punch. My favorite personally is the grapefruit. It's a classic and I go back to it. It's delicious. Plus, this stuff is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. You really need to try it for yourself to see what I'm talking about. It tastes incredible and it works.
Well, Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you save even more with a monthly subscription. And it's so easy to get. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. We're not kidding here, folks. 25%. Go to drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR for 25% off your first order. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR to save 25%. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, unhealthy food, and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years to help with my workouts, but I finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after my workouts. We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has some amazing flavors you'll love. I know I do, but without all that bad stuff.
Hey, we're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got some exciting news. Magic Spoon will be releasing 2 amazing new flavors this month for a limited time only. We're talking about cookies and cream and maple waffle. Do I now have 2 favorite flavors of Magic Spoon that I haven't even tried yet? Because I'm looking at my dream board right in front of me, and what's there? Cookies and cream and maple waffle. This is a dream come true. And if that isn't the most comforting, indulgent combination, then I don't know what is. This is the ultimate treat yourself combo. So make sure you get some while you can for a limited time. Or build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, one of my faves, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon, my absolute fave. Now, if you're listening in Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well.
That sounds about perfect for the maple waffle. If you want to get in on this, go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition cookies and cream, maple waffle, or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.